Hello, 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 my reinventors. This is Sahar Andradi. I am your host for the Reinvent Yourself to Greatness podcast. And I have a great treat for you today. So I wanted to introduce you to Leslie Crumley. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about her in a second. And I'm going to let her introduce herself as well, so you can know more or less how to contact her, how to get hold of her. But let me give you a couple of words about who Leslie is. So Leslie actually, believe it or not, lost almost everything in the Great Recession of 2008. But she crawled out of a deep, dark hole to not only survive, but to thrive. And now she's taking everything she has learned in her journey from negative to positive, reinventing yourself, to teach people or to teach others her mindful approach to life and secrets to prosperity. She is a personal finance strategist, and she also an author of the 7 Steps to Fund a Life You Love Living. I have asked her today to come and share with us what you can do in the right way to reinvent your relationship with money, no matter how much or little you have. And I promise you that by the end of the show, she would have shared few resources that will totally support your financial success. Without further ado, I want to introduce you to Leslie Crumley. Leslie, welcome on our Reinvent Yourself to Greatness with Sahar podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Wow, what an introduction. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to connect with you today and your listeners. So I'm just hoping I can share some light and hope, I think, in this environment that we're in. So I'm hoping to share some good stuff with everybody
today. I'm sure you will. So I usually like to ask my guests to share how can people get hold of them. So what is your website?
It's Structured Success. So like you're structuring your success, structuredsuccess.com. And on that website, you can contact me. And so you contact me through that site, and I'm here. You can see me on LinkedIn. I also have a LinkedIn profile, Leslie Crumley. So that's how you get a hold of me.
That is awesome. Leslie, I wanted to ask you a question that I hear sometimes from my clients when I ask them about the retirement or what they are doing to save money. And the answer that I hear is like, I don't have that much money, so how can you help these people? And do people really don't have that much money that can go towards the retirement or for a better life? Do you hear that expression sometimes?
Sahara, that's a great question. And yes, I hear that all the time. It actually breaks my heart because everybody has a little bit of money because you have to have money day to day to live. And what people get really confused on, and it's not their fault, it's because of the language. It's money management. So you hear management and you think asset management because no one's ever told you the difference between money and asset management. Yes, you need money for asset management if you're going to put money in the market or in real estate. Not as much as you may think, but you do need some extra money. So you want to figure out what you have first and then figure out what small things you can do. And it depends on what your goals are, what you want to do, but everybody's got a little bit of money. And the cool thing about it is, Sahar, that most people don't understand, is the technique that I use if I have money and the technique that you use if you don't have money are the same. So you can start applying all the strategies with no money to get your, it's like running a marathon. You're practicing for the marathon. You don't show up at the marathon not having practiced. So just think about that. What disciplines can you put in place right now to get ready for the money that you may be getting?
Can you explain to me and to the listeners in very simple layman terms, what's the difference between asset management and money management?
Yes. Asset management is, if I go to a financial advisor, like the people you mentioned, I don't have money to invest for retirement. Okay, that's money is generally put into the stock market, where you go to a financial advisor, you have a 401k plan at work. And that is asset management, because they are taking the money I have and they are trying to get a return on my investment based on my goals and my risk tolerance and all sorts of other stuff. Now, money management, and I actually call it money maintenance, is the day-to-day operations of money management. So that's like, how many checking accounts do I have? How am I using those checking accounts? Do I have credit cards? Do I have credit card debt? Do I do a will? Do I do a trust? Like, those are just like the down and dirty operational components of money management. And everybody has those concerns. So you do have money and things to manage around money.
I see. Thank you. Because I was sometimes confused between these two things. Do you think that financial success is possible even if someone feels they don't have that much money?
You know, I know it's possible. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen to myself. Now, can it happen overnight? That's another story. But I know that I started out in a small town. I know that I wasn't great at math. I know that I was in food services for a very long time and trying to find my way towards financial freedom. Because for me, it's not about money at all. I don't really care about money, but what I do care about is having time and money to be able to fund traveling, which has always been my motivation, seriously, for trying to have money coming in and having the time. So, but I do believe that a lot of people don't understand that it's a self-development journey. So if you're focusing on money, that may not be the right path. And if you're hitting blocks, that could be the reason, because who hasn't met somebody who spent, you know, $200,000 in debt by being in a, you know, going to law school, doing it for a couple of years and hating it, right? But they did it because, oh, for the money. No, that's not the best path. But if you follow your curiosity, if you follow what you're just naturally engaged in, and you're purposeful, because the structure of that money maintenance, I use three tools. I use a balance sheet, a spending plan, and cash flow. And I know those sound like big words to people who are not familiar with them. And again, that's why I'm all about language in the work I do, because I think that language is actually a barrier to your financial success. Absolutely. And you are the one that cages yourself, because immediately go, oh, balance sheet, that's not for me. I don't know that. And that starts that.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, I don't have a business, right? And I even have small business owners tell me, well, I do a balance sheet for my business, but what about your home business? Because we've all met small business owners who have worked like dogs their whole life, and then they go to retire and they realize they didn't do the work and the planning to set up their business to be able to sell it, or really think of it as an asset. The balance sheet, which is really, you may not have heard it, because it's really for business, and for very affluent clients use balance sheets to manage all their assets. I say, hey, let's do what they do, and let's take that and use it as a self-assessment. And that's what one of the things I teach in my 7-step program is, what is it and who cares? This is not like a judgment on you. It's not a judgment when you're looking at a balance sheet on you, because a lot of time that's the language part, because, you know, it's a balance sheet is really a list of what you own and a list of what you owe, and then you subtract the two, and that's the difference, is called the net worth balance. And that's where people get hung up, language, because they associate it with their self-worth. No, I call that balance a financial freedom tracker balance. And all that does is, it is like a GPS. What I'm doing get me further or closer to my goals. And if I'm going down, then I need to do something different. And if it's going up, I need to keep monitoring to make sure that it's going up to where I need, to where I want it to be, to get to what I need. But so, yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. Here, people, here, reinventors, we're giving you a little bit of clarity about money. And Leslie, as I mentioned in the beginning, I know you have had your ups and downs in money, that you had money troubles. How did you reinvent yourself to become the financial expert that you are today? What did you have to do?
Well, you know, I will tell you, I can clearly remember the day. It was October 11th, 2011. And I was really, you know, just really, you know how in your mind when you get really depressed and you think, huh, you know, what if I jumped off the, I had a three-story house. What if I jumped off that balcony? That would end some of the pain, right? Because I'm like, I have really put my whole family at risk. We were supporting my in-laws at the time because they, you know, like I said, they hadn't received saved for retirement. My kids were young. It's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And then I got this gift from my dear friend, Cynthia. Excuse me, your life is waiting. And it was the CD that taught you how to have gratitude no matter where you were in life. And so the moment I started a gratitude practice is the moment I started feeling my way out of the circumstance, not knowing how to get there, but knowing how I wanted to feel that day and just moving towards that daily. And it's one of the reasons why I have a mindful money management practice, because I'm mindful of my journey day to day, because it is not the destination, it is the journey. We've all heard it, but when you've been in really bad circumstances, like I know a lot of people are right there right now, because this is scary right now. I've been where you are crying in the middle of the night and you do not know what you're going to do next. It is awful. But if you do have your health, if you do, you know, have a bed to sleep on, you know, you're doing a lot better than a lot of other people. And so you can have gratitude in that. And the second you turn that energy around, and I know you talk a lot about energy and positive thinking, which is why I think we connect so deeply, because our work is, you know, independent, but so aligned. So because it's the same baseline strategies, right? It's just really what you're thinking and managing that all the time, every second of the day. And so that is the first thing you do, is have a gratitude practice.
Absolutely. And I know that some people that are listening right now will tell you, because I hear that sometimes and I get these questions, is that, oh, you're talking gratitude, you're talking positive thinking, all that is woo-hoo stuff out there, you know, and they don't understand that this is actual reality, and it's something that really works. So I'm going to ask you, can you talk a little bit about mindfulness when it comes to money, and then I'll talk about it from the way I see it. It's like, how did you connect between both? And where people are gonna tell you, oh, you're just out there, or you're just like, hold hand and kumbaya and all that. And I always tell people, like, it's not about the kumbaya and like woo-hoo stuff, but there is actually facts behind it. Can you talk about that for a little bit, please?
Yeah, you know, there is neuroscience behind the gratitude. There's neuroscience between managing your thoughts. So you can actually build new neurons. Now, I'm not an expert in that, but I do follow someone who is. And what's really crazy is like 95% of what we do is on a subconscious level. Uh-huh. And if you don't really consciously, and you try being conscious for, take a 21-day challenge. I think, do you have a 21-day challenge? Do you not, Sahar?
I do 3 and 5. And with my own clients, I do, yes, 21-day challenge.
And you do those 21-day challenges for 10 minutes a day, you are exhausted by the end of that 21 days, because that consciousness takes a lot of energy, which is why we are programmed to run so much on auto. But once you understand how your, you know, how just your brain works, then you can kind of start hacking. And hacking is gratitude, because it is just simply focusing your attention and your emotions, mind, body, and spirit in alignment to get you to where you want to be. Because you try being worried about money and fearful of where it's coming from and talking and trying to get a job, as opposed to coming from a place of getting a job or starting your business when you are fully engaged in wanting to serve. It's two different energy levels. And that's why you constantly want to get your energy to serving. And if you're in fear and uncertainty, you know, energetically, that's going to get picked up on. So
you're blocked. You block basically the money to come to you. Yes.
Exactly.
Actually, I wanted to give you the space to answer that. And my thing, when people tell me it's woo-hoo and stuff, and I'm like, no, it's like you exactly said, it's something called part of neuroplasticity. So our brain is actually built where the default is negative, because it takes less resources from our brain. So normally this is what our way of thinking and our brain goes to, and it actually, it demands an effort for us to go to the positive side. But what our brain is built on is to saving calories, so it's or energy. So it saves itself as an efficient tool and goes through the negative. But when you go to the positive side and then we see things change, it is not, and people say, this is more or less like manifestation. People say, oh, you cannot just think about something, it happens. You're not just thinking about something. What you're doing is like you are changing the chemistry of your brain that prepares the brain to be a resource and a field that will feel, that will feed your subconscious, and subconscious will always give you whatever you ask it for. So if you ask for negative, this is what you will get. If you ask for positive, this is what we'll get. And this is in a very simple formatting, but there is more science behind it. Because like you said, neuroplasticity are new neural pathways that are built within our, like new highways in our brain that can take us to another route, that we can start thinking differently, and gratitude does that. Gratitude is the gateway to abundance. So thank you for saying that.
It's absolutely true.
Right? And you know what? One of the things that people don't realize, I was just speaking to someone. So they manifested money and they worked on it. Like they worked to make, because manifestation without you working on it doesn't work, right? But they worked on it. They manifested, they got the money. But when the money came, they blocked it. They rejected the work. And they found excuses like, I don't have the time, I don't have the space to take that client, right? And they did not realize, till I talked to them, they did not realize that they actually rejected the positive manifestation result that they got, and they got all the excuses. So this is what I call our wrong relationship with money. Can you please speak on that?
Absolutely. And it's one of the things that I work on for myself, because I think we all, and I think you know that well, Sahar, we all, I think, have our own glass ceilings that we've created. And we all have what I call limiting beliefs that look like the reality. Well, I'm not good with money. Okay, you may have had the behavior, you may have been told, but the fact is, if you look at money as a self-development journey, you know you can self-develop, especially if you've got the resources. But again, that's why I like to equate it to a marathon, because look, the money is just one part of it. You got to do the work that it takes to stay conditioned to run a marathon, right? You have to learn how to, all of the movements. And the same thing is true with money management. And it is the tools of the balance sheet, which constantly focuses your awareness and allows you to figure out, oh, I need to do this or not this. I call them choice management tools as well, right? So that you are constantly looking at what your choices are, because, you know, we all think that there is a lot of opportunity. Well, it's not opportunity if you're stuck in overwhelm and uncertainty. And it's not opportunity if you don't really look at how your thinking goes. Because, like, I'm working with someone who, she's not resistant about money itself, but she is really bothered by corporate greed. And that corporate greed, and I think we all can agree that there has been, you know, that large instances of corporate greed is, you know, revolting, and we don't want to be a part of that. And we connect money, or we may connect money to billionaires that are, you know, are harmful to our society. So we don't want to connect ourselves there. So I really think that you really have to go deep down and go, well, what is my definition of success? What is my definition of wealth? Because who wants to be associated with those greedy rich people? And, you know, you just listen to the language, and it's that language bias too that I think subconsciously just is microaggressive towards us. And we've been conditioned to that, to not even recognize that. And as soon as you start recognizing how you feel about that language, then you can redefine it for you, and then you can feel better. And then that kind of opens up the gate of acceptance and go, the more money I make, the more good I can do in the world.
Absolutely.
And that is what I always shoot for.
Absolutely. And one of the things that came to my mind when you were talking is like, I'm hearing fear of success. People don't realize that there is some, yes, that everybody knows about the fear of failure, but no one really thinks that much about fear of success. So fear of success is exactly what you define. It's like, the money is going to corrupt me. I don't want to be like these people. I don't want to be greedy. People are going to look at me in a different way. And that's why I don't want to have all that money. And this is fear. It's limiting beliefs, exactly like you said. Leslie, my next question to you, if a person is struggling, like this is continuation to what we have been just saying right now, is struggling with money, how can they reinvent themselves and reinvent the relationship with money? So if you have some tools or some definitions or some resources or some redirecting, that would be great.
Well, I think the first thing you can do today is decide that you want to have a new money story, and just decide that, and just wipe the other slate clean. You know, your computer crashed and that's it. It's all gone. What do you want it to look like? And when you go, okay, what does that look like? And don't go from, I want to be like, I have nothing, to I want to be, you know, have $10 billion. No, like, what would the first step one be? If you're in credit card debt, does that mean I'm out of credit card debt? Okay, if that's it, then how do you get out of credit card debt? You know, there, you make a list. So that's one of the things you can do. But the thing that everybody can do is schedule time in their week for money. I call it money maintenance, but for money management. And I do offer a schedule your success call on Mondays. And if you email me, if you reach out to me and contact me through my website, structuredsuccess.com, and I will send you the link to register for that call. It's completely free. It's from 8 to 8:15, and it's like laser coaching, because who has a lot of time? But what we do in that call is I really help you take what's on your schedule and do time blocking, basically. What are you doing with your time? Because the first step is recognizing what you're doing, so that then you can start having, oh, well, maybe I need to reorganize this, or maybe I need to think about this differently, because do I really have to do all of these things? Maybe I can get with a buddy. Maybe I can do, you know, how can I do it? And we're always asking, how can I, not why I can't, and getting your brain working, how can I? But that is the first thing, is setting time on your schedule. And if you say, well, I don't have time to do that, I would invite you to figure out how you can, because if you can't now, and you're not where you're at, how are you going to get where you want to be, right? So you got to figure out, and that's where opportunity costs comes in, you know, in economics, right? What's the highest and best use of your time?
Leslie, when someone is, they don't have that great relationship with money, they might not grasp the fact that sometimes you need to spend money to make money, right? So what if someone that hears about your program, but before even thinking about reaching out, say, I'm sure she's expensive and I can't afford it. What would you tell them?
You know, I would say, you know, take a look at where your life is now. And then if you do nothing, where is your life going to be next year? Or maybe even go back to last year and go, am I in the same spot as I was last year? And I'm here, but, and that's why I call it a self-development journey. And actually in the spending plans that I help people create, generally in a spending plan, there is not a self-development line item in there, but I always include financial freedom and a self-development line item and put that in as one of the first things I do, because I invest in programs and working with people all the time, because you can't, how can you learn what you don't know, and you don't know what you don't know. So you sometimes you don't even know what you need to learn. And that's one of the reasons why I offer a one-on-one discovery, and that I just go through all these assessment questions to help you know where you're at. Then we can figure out what your next steps are. You may have some fires to put out, which is going to dictate what you need to do next, but we can also pave the pathway for you to create the foundation for that financial success. And there are certain cornerstones that everybody needs to do to have that strong financial foundation. And if you also, if you reach out to me on my website, structuredsuccess.com, and ask for one-on-one discovery, I will send you a link for a discount on my one-on-one discovery session if you wanted to really figure out where you want to go. And I give you like 3 action items, and you can, you know, work with me. It might be, you know, working with Sahar, because Sahar, if you're blocked and you, those beliefs are in your way, there's nobody. I am so grateful to Sahar's help. She has helped me so much, and I know she can help you as well. So
thank you. Leslie, it's just like whatever you have been saying is so enlightening, and it just like it makes so much sense. And sometimes I want to let people know that you cannot afford not to afford paying some money sometimes, you know, because like you said, look at your life a year back or 2 years back, and you are either in the same position that wasn't good to start with, or that is worse than when you were a year and 2 years ago, right? And if you, for example, if you were prepared financially, like Leslie has been saying, COVID might not have hit you financially that bad, right? So this is why we need, and even COVID is a wake-up call for entrepreneurs, for business owners, for people that don't have retirement plans, that we need, if we didn't have it before, okay, fine. We are not gonna cry over spilled milk, like they say. We need to start from today onward. Make sure that our financial records are on like tip-top shape, that we have our balance sheet, that we have our cash flow, that we have our bookkeeping, that we have our payroll, that we have everything, because part of the loans or of the grant, the PPP and EIDL, specifically PPP, depended mainly on your payroll, on your insurance, on your taxes. So if you didn't have your bookkeeping and money matters in order, you probably didn't get help from PPP. So thank you. And I know that a lot of people sometimes say, oh, everything is free on the internet. We can get all the information on the internet. And like I told you before, Leslie, to these people, I say, and how has that been working for you? Like Dr. Phil says.
Right. Yeah. If that's the case, why not? Why are you here right now, right?
Exactly. Like, yeah. You know, free information is good, but it will take you up to here. But if you want to really become a better version of yourself here, you need help. You need to go for people that have been there, that have the knowledge and education to do that for you. I mean, remember, no matter where I get, I hire coaches, I get mentors, because once we stop growing, we die inside. So, Leslie, I can't thank you enough for this. So before we leave, I would like to ask you to share some pearls of wisdom or a quote that you believe in, that you can leave, you know, some words of wisdom to our listeners in the podcast. What would you say?
I would say, and you'll notice that I'm looking at my wall, because I have this hanging on my wall in my office. I look at it all the time, because every day there are choices that I have to make, and I want to make different ones many days. But I look and I go, the chief cause of failure and unhappiness is trading what we want most for what we want in the moment. And so it's every moment that you spend 30 minutes looking at Twitter when you could be looking at your goals and working, doing one thing. It's every moment that you're not focused, have focused awareness, is you are trading that moment. And you can make money, but you cannot get back your time. And I got to tell you, if you are young, it goes by like this. And if you're young, you've got time, and there's mathematical equations that are on your side, and you want to get started now. And even if it is $1 a week, I challenge you to figure out how you can make that dollar grow into 2. And it's not about how much, it's about learning how to do that. So if you're not following Sahar, if you're not going to her, all her teaching, her free, she has so much free training, I have to tell you, just being in a room with her and hearing all her wisdom, that's right there. If you want something free, you can definitely do that. Come to my call. I'd love to have you. It's 15 minutes, right? So yeah, that's what you can do. And always write that quote down, though, because it is like an amazing one. The chief cause of failure and unhappiness is trading what we want most for what we want in the moment.
And I believe what I heard also just you saying that is that you don't have to be a certain age to start your money literacy or your financial freedom for money to live the life that you want, but you can be young too and just starting your work experience and still look for financial literacy and financial freedom. At least you have a better chance to get the retirement or to get the second life or the second wing of your life the way you want it. Did I hear you right?
Yeah, yes, you did. And I would just, for a conversation for another day, is redefining what retirement is, because really, have you might be heading towards that finish line and not thought about what's after the finish line. What are you going to do for the rest of your life? I mean, seriously, if you're not working, I mean, you really want to think about what activities you're doing and how you want to contribute, not just, oh gosh, I don't have to go work every day. But that's a conversation for another day.
See, reinventors, my dear listeners, I told you, you are in for a treat. And Leslie, you have been a treat. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge. And again, my people, my reinventors, you can find Leslie on LinkedIn, Leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E, Crumley, C-R-U-M-L-E-Y. Also, her website is www.structuredsuccess.com. I'm going to be posting, you know, her contact information in the description of the podcast as well, in case you want to get in touch with her. And I really highly recommend that. What do you have to lose? Nothing. It's 15 minutes out of your life that can make your life so much better. Please take that step. Please take that opportunity for you to learn more. Leslie, thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom with me and with my listeners, with the reinventors. I really thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And my reinventors, as I always say, we all have a genius inside of ourselves. We all have a light inside of ourselves that can not only lighten our path, but it can also lighten the path of others, because we are creatures that have been created to serve others as well. Be kind to others, but primarily be kind to yourself. My reinventors, till we meet next time. This is your host, Sahar Andrade, and I will see you in our next episode of podcast, Reinvent Yourself to Greatness. Thank you, and bye for now.